الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. So today we've come to a new set of lectures, and all our lectures, inshallah, for the rest of our stay will be on this topic. What we did yesterday was just basically an introduction for matters of aqidah in general. And one of the most important matters of aqidah, of course, is tawheed. Now, there was a section of yesterday's lecture which was, I guess I didn't get into, which was the methodology of how Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah refutes other groups and sects. And the reason why I decided not to do that this morning is because it's a long methodology, it has 20 points. And you saw how we had to sort of race through those 12 points yesterday. And this will take a lot longer time to explain. And also because invariably, when you want to explain their methodology in doing refutation, you're going to have to explain some of the different astray groups and astray sects which you're going to refute, and that's going to cause a discussion of exactly what do these groups believe and so forth. And you know, the discussion, I could just see it taking all the weekend and so forth. So let's just go directly to Tawheed, and inshallah ta'ala we'll have another opportunity in the future where we can discuss the methodology of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah in refuting in refutation of the astray groups. Now, what we'd like to discuss now is the Tawheed of the Prophets and the Messengers. Of course, I mean all the Prophets and the Messengers without exception. Tawheed al-Anbiya'i wal-Mursaleen. Ibn al-Qayyim, in his various works, he says that the Tawheed is basically, you'll find five groups of people identifying their beliefs as Tawheed. All, four of them are false, and only one of them is true, and that's the Tawheed of the Prophets and the Messengers. As far as the four false types of Tawheed, he mentions the philosophers and the Ittihadiyya, which are the Sufis who believe in a Wahdat al-Wujud, a single universal existence which they identify with Allah, the Jahmiyya and the Jabriya. And I only wanted to list these four just for the sake of your reference, that's all. But without, I'm not going to discuss what they claim to be Tawheed and where they urge, just for the sake of reference, just so you have something in the future for your further study and investigation. But the point is that you have to understand that not every single thing which is claimed to be Tawheed is really Tawheed. And that's the important point over here. And a very simple example which we can all identify is the Christians. All right, the Christians tomorrow, they will go to their churches, and they will commit shirk. However, they feel themselves, right, they deem themselves to be monotheist. They deem themselves that they are practicing Tawheed, right? So therefore, the point is that not everything that is claimed to be Tawheed is Tawheed. Also, because of that, you shouldn't, because you see a person author a book and says, this is a book explaining Tawheed, say, oh, mashallah, finally somebody's talking about Aqidah, and, you know, I'm going to just grab this book and, you know, study it and base my religion upon it. No, because it might be a false form of Tawheed. It might be a Tawheed which is incorrect. And for those of you who have the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C., and visit the Islamic Center of Washington, D.C., perhaps when you go there, you'll receive a pamphlet, if you're one of those tour buses with a lot of American tourists, you'll receive a pamphlet called The Conception of God in Islam. And the author there, when he's explaining Tawheed in that little pamphlet, 5 or 6 page pamphlet, he will mention every single type of Tawheed, except for the Tawheed of the Prophets and the Messengers, and says these are all different types of Tawheed. He basically talks about the Tawheed of the Sufis, and the Tawheed of the Mu'tazila, which is like the Jahmiyyah and so forth. And so the point I'm just trying to say is that not everything which is described to be Tawheed is Tawheed. What we're concerned with is the Tawheed of the Prophets and the Messengers. And since there's no way for us to know the Tawheed of the Prophets and the Messengers only through the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously our study of Tawheed will be only through the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Okay, even though we say that this is the belief of all the Prophets and Messengers, that refers back to the first point about how they derive their aqidah that we discussed last night. Okay. So, without much further ado, we'll get into this. Basically, the Tawhid of the Prophets and Messengers can be divided into two categories, okay? Two major branches. And again, this is just one classification system. All these matters deal with the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the scholars, in trying to present this to the people, they classified it. And one of the classification systems is to divide it into two types. And there's another classification system which divides it into three types. But the one I prefer is for two types for teaching reasons. And that is Tawheed in belief, okay, which is usually referred to as Tawheed al-ilmi al-i'tiqadi. And I will transliterate this in a second. Tawheed al-ilmi al-i'tiqadi. And then Tawheed al-fi'li. I mean, sometimes other terms are synonymous, but this is just one way of saying it. This is Tawheed, we might just say in belief. And this is Tawheed in action or in one's deed, for instance, you can translate in general. But what do you mean by the word Tawheed? Tawheed is probably one of the terms which it seems that nobody can translate in English language. Everybody seems to mistranslate it. And that's probably because they don't understand it. And sometimes they create words which maybe don't exist in English language, although I've been guilty of that sometimes. However, though, Tawheed, basically, literally, in the Arabic language, it means to make something one. Okay? Tawheed means to make something one. Now, when we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not making something one. What we're doing is we're recognizing something which is, which Allah is described with, and so therefore when we talk about Tawheed in terms of Allah, we're recognizing His oneness, okay? And also, we're recognizing His uniqueness, because, like for instance, you find them sometimes saying that, translating, for instance, Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat, sometimes people will translate Allah's unicity or Allah's oneness in His names and His attributes. Well, that doesn't really mean anything. You know, what does it mean by His oneness in his names and His attributes? Does that mean all His names are of a single meaning, all of the attributes are of a single meaning? That's an incorrect concept, as we'll see. What you might say is uniqueness in His names and attributes, in the sense that nobody deserves those names and attributes except for Him, okay? And when you're talking about, in terms of His actions, you're saying that he performs his actions alone, he has no partner, and so forth and so on. So, the point is that really depending on what aspect of Tawheed, you would probably translate the word Tawheed as either uniqueness or oneness, or that he alone deserves like worship, or is to be worshipped alone, or something like that. So it's not really, I think, can be translated the same way every single time, depending on what aspect of Tawheed you're talking about. Allahu A'lam. But the point is that when we look at the Tawheed of the Prophets and the Messengers, there is two branches to this Tawheed. A Tawheed in belief, a Tawheed in our belief. Okay, how do we believe concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And also Tawheed in our deeds, in the sense we give our worship only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Tawheed in belief is also referred to, and I'd like to erase the second side of the board. It's also referred to as Tawheed al-Ma'rifa wal-Ithbat. Which means Tawheed of Allah. Ma'rifa means recognition, and you know something, okay? And ithbat means affirmation, okay? So Tawheed of Allah through our recognition and our affirmation of certain things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll discuss what are those things that you're recognizing and you're affirming to Allah, okay? So this is what Tawheed al-Ilmi al-Itiqad. This is just another term they use for this, okay? And what I'd like to do now in this initial lectures is actually go ahead and explain this first form of Tawheed, or the Tawheed in terms of our knowledge and our beliefs, which is Tawheed in recognition and affirmation. Tawheed in ma'rifah wal ithbat. So you can see that this Tawheed lies in the heart, right? Because you're recognizing and affirming things for Allah, and also lies on the tongue. Because you announce, you say what you believe you hold in your heart. This Tawheed is divided into two categories. Okay? Tawheed al-Ma'rifah wal-Ithbat is two major categories. The first category is negation. Oh, I guess these are writing it in English. I should write it on this slide. Negation, or an-nafi. Second category is affirmation, or al-ithbat. Okay? Because when we're describing Allah, when we're having things tawheed in our knowledge, we are negating things and we're affirming things, okay? But before I actually went into this, I should have mentioned the point is that what is this? You know, this point that I'm talking about now comes really before this, breaking this down. When we discuss Tawheed in our knowledge, what are we talking about? What are the different, you know, topics that we're discussing? We're basically discussing six topics. Allah's essence, okay? His essence, or his that, okay? His name, or asma. Right here in Arabic for those words, you know Arabic. His attributes, or his sifat, for his actions, or his af'al, by his speech, or his kalam, and second, his all-embracing decree, which is qadr. Okay? So when we say, when I'm talking about tawheed al-ma'rifah wal-ithbat, tawheed in knowledge, tawheed in recognition and affirmation, What are we including in this subject? We're talking about Allah's essence, His name, His attributes, His action, His speech, and His all-embracing decree. Six topics enter into this. And what we're doing in this is divided into two categories. Things which we negate from Allah, and things which we affirm to Him. And let me give you a quick example that we can all understand. We talk about Allah's essence, right? We negate that Allah is a Trinity, that He's three persons, you know what I'm saying, in one, as the Christians claim, right? And we affirm that He is one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, Allah is one. The only. He's not a Trinity. This is something you got to think all Muslims can recognize and understand. Likewise, when we talk about Allah's names, there are names which we can affirm to Allah, and there are names which we cannot affirm to Allah. We must negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And His attributes. There are attributes which we can affirm to Allah, and there are attributes which we must negate from Allah. his actions. Same thing, we must negate certain things, we must affirm certain actions. Likewise, his speech. We must negate from him, or from his speech, certain things like it's created, okay, that he doesn't speak, like the Mu'tazila and other groups believe. And we must affirm that he speaks, for instance, when he wants and to whom he wants. Also, his qadr, his all-embracing decree, we must negate certain things from that belief, we must affirm certain things. Okay? So, this whole topic is dealing with six concerns, okay? I mean, this branch of Tawheed, right? Because we said the Tawheed of the Prophet is how many branches? Two, right? Tawheed in belief, right, which we're talking about now, and Tawheed in action. This Tawheed in belief deals with what? Six topics. Okay? So what we're going to do now is we're going to break down the Tawheed in belief, and we're going to start talking about each thing to provide a foundation for us to understand how do we understand Tawheed. Okay? So do we copy these things? I'm willing to go as slow as the brothers want, so if you need time to write down, or if there's a brother who writes quickly, let him write, the other brothers can maybe copy from him, you know, afterwards, inshallah, since you're all from the same locale. All right? Huh?
I'm not
a little bit. You're in the taste man, so you're lucky. Alright, so we talked about the six concerns, right? Now, coming to this now. So this Tawheed is basically revolved upon negating and affirming things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Negating wrong beliefs, dealing with those six topics that I wrote down, and affirming the correct beliefs and its bad concerning those six topics. And what we're going to do now is we're going to discuss that in detail. Okay? What I'd like to do now is, you know, maybe on one of your papers on the side you can make a chart so you can see how this is all connected. Because unfortunately the board is not large enough for me to keep on, you know what I mean, breaking it down. So one of you can write a chart or something like that. What I'm going to do now is we're going to talk about negation. So we're taking this first branch of... This first branch of the two branches of the Tawheed of knowledge. You said negation, affirmation, negation. And negation is also divided into two aspects. And each of those two aspects is divided into two aspects. So negation is divided into two parts, and each of those two parts are divided into two parts. And let me see my notes. Al-Izzah, and these are all his names and attributes. Later on, the people, they start to say, they used to say something called Al-Zat, you know, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who possesses all of these attributes. However, the philosophers have a special understanding for it, which is an incorrect understanding. I hope this is clear, inshallah. It's somewhat difficult. All right. After the last first time I found somebody, the explanation was very clear. That's something you need to complete.
Brother Jamal.
Okay. I only know the examples which the scholars in the book asked. If she had an example, unable to. So, now that we had that introduction, what's the fourth book? Allah's name. Are indicative. That was just an introduction so you can understand this role. Indicative of his essence is that and his attributes, the fact. How many ways? Three ways, right? You mentioned those three ways.
فالمصادقة تضمن الالتزام.
So how can we prove that? Well, Allah's names are indicative of His essence and His attributes. Don't forget, we mentioned that. We mentioned the second rule. What? What was the second rule? That each name of Allah is a'lam wa awsaf. It's both a name and an attribute, right? So let's take the example that Ibn Uthaymeen mentions. A very good example. Okay. Let's take Allah's name Al-Khaliq, the Creator. No. Al-Khaliq, the Creator. This name is indicative of Allah's, because we said that His names are both A'la and Al-Saf, right? So we said the third rule, that they are indicative of His essence. They're all of the in similar meaning in terms, they all indicate to His essence, and they are different meaning that each has its own attribute, that His names are like that. So this Al-Khaliq is, right, it is indicative of His essence, right? He is Al-Khaliq, Allah. And also it's indicative of what? An attribute of His, which is Sifatul Khalq, that He created. Okay? So by Mufadaqa, by the Jalil of Mufadaqa, when you say Al-Khaliq, what are you indicating to by Mufadaqa?
He's the creator of everything.
No. You're indicating to what? That you're indicating to Allah, right? His essence, right? Because we said it's alam and awsaf, to Allah. And also you're indicating to His attribute of creation, of creating, right? Right? By mufadaqa, because mufadaqa is inclusive, we said all-inclusive of all that. By tadamman, if we said that al-khaliq means that is indicative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if we were to say that al-khaliq is indicative of His attribute that He creates.